Have your Bibles with you this morning. I want you to turn with me to the third chapter of the book of Genesis. You know me, I'm kind of like an Old Testament kind of guy because I know that whatever is in the New Testament, I can find it in the Old Testament. And I don't care what it is. If you can find it, show it to me in the New Testament. I can show it to you in the Old Testament. And most especially, I can show it to you in Torah, believe it or not, in the first five books of the Pentateuch, the books of Moses. And so I like to get back to the beginning of things, the genetics, the Genesis of things, the beginning of things, because I know that when I get to the beginning, I can pretty well figure out how the end's going to be. How many of you know that in the beginning, God created, but before he created, in the beginning, God had a plan. Before any creation was done, God had a plan. Before anything, he had a plan, and he wrote that plan down. See, a lot of people don't realize it because we live in an era and in a time that we usually create before we get the plan. I guess I'm the only one who does that. But God had a plan, and you are part of that plan. God created, he wrote everything down. The Bible tells us, I love it, says he wrote the end when he wrote the beginning. That's a plan. If I start out a plan, I'm going to write down where I'm going to begin. But if I got a real plan, I'm going to write down where I'm going to end. So he wrote the end when he wrote the beginning. God had a plan. Look at somebody and say, you're part of the plan. You don't act like it sometimes. But you are a part of the plan. You know, how many of you know that I don't act like it sometimes, so I can say that honestly. Genesis, the third chapter, begins to tell us about the enemy, gets us out of the plan of God. How many of you know you do have an enemy? I know some of you think everybody loves you. They don't. Some people just tolerate you. But we got to realize that God does love us. And we got to recognize the fact that we have an enemy of our soul. And that is Satan. That old serpent, that serpent of old, as he's talked about in the revelation of God in the last book. And so we have a enemy. And the enemy is out to kill, steal, and destroy. That's his job. But I got good news for you this morning. He's not after you. He's after what's in you. But he can't overcome it. In the third chapter of the book of Genesis, we're going to begin to read how he overcomes us and how he draws us out of the Spirit of God. Verse 8. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam, and he said, "Where are you? Where art thou?" In the King James Version, where art thou? Where are you? And he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid." Say afraid with me. Afraid. "And I was afraid because I was naked." See, I'm going to stop right there because I got to give you a nugget. Don't you like those nuggets? I want to give you a nugget. He said, "I was afraid because I was naked." For the first time, Adam realized that God saw him when he wasn't even thinking about God. Come on now. I'm telling you, there's some times in my life that I wish God couldn't see me. There's times that I thought, boy, I tell you what, when I stop and realize that you can't hide from God. He sees everything. He knows everything. You cannot hide from God. And Adam recognized, I'm vulnerable. I can't hide. I can't cover it up. I can't clothe it. I was afraid because I realized, because I knew, because I saw that I was naked. And he says, and I hid myself. I covered it. And then he said, who told you that you were naked? Who told you that? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? Then human said, the woman whom you gave me to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate. Now watch this. This is important. And the Lord God said to the woman, I love the way God operates. Let's go to the source. Let's just go to the source. How many of you ever stopped to think that if we would just go to the source, we would have a lot less junk in our life? We wouldn't even have to deal with stuff. God said to the woman, I just love this. What is this you've done? And the woman said, the serpent. I like what the Old King James Version said, and the serpent beguiled me, deceived me, and I ate. Father, I just ask you to put your blessing on the reading of your word, and I know you have a word for your people. And I ask that you would just give me your spirit for the next 25 or 30 minutes, that I can speak for you and give them, everyone under the sound of my voice, your heart, that they can receive what you have for them. Bless your people, O Lord God. Strengthen them, and we give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I kind of feel like I'm spitting up here, guys. You might need to work on that a little bit. I want to talk with you this morning for just a few minutes about unfamiliar voices. How many of you ever had any unfamiliar voices? Amen. How many of you ever had thoughts come into your mind and you think, oh, I can't believe I'm thinking that? Yeah. Come on. Amen. Amen. You know, you've done things that you said you would never do. Under any circumstances, you would never find yourself in that place, but now you're there. And you think, how did I get here? I never dreamed I would do something like this. I never dreamed I would think something like this. I never dreamed I would say something like this.
Yes.
But I did. And the reason I did is because I listened to an unfamiliar voice. See, what I want you to hear this morning is that the unfamiliar voice will make you think unfamiliar thoughts, make you say unfamiliar things, and make you do unfamiliar acts. It's that unfamiliar voice, and you've had them. You say, well, I've really never experienced. Oh, yeah, you have. I don't know how old you are, but you didn't get as old as you are without being attacked by the enemy. Because he's after what's in you. And so these unfamiliar voices will create unfamiliar thoughts, and your actions are always a result of your thoughts. What a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Are you there with me? You're going to think it before you do it. I've never talked with anyone that has told me that they wound up in an adulterous affair without first thinking about it. Come on, I know. And in other words, I want you to see that the enemy is after your mind. Because he knows that if he can get your mind, he can get the rest of you. But he's got to start here. He's got to start here because he can't take you anywhere you don't want to go.
Yeah.
That's grace.
Yeah.
Are you with me? He can't take. That's what the reason the Bible tells us, resist the devil and he'll flee from you.
Yeah.
He can't take you where you don't want to go. So what he's got to do is convince you.
Yes.
You want to be where you're really not. You are not who that unfamiliar voice says you are.
Yes.
You are bigger than that. You are greater than that.
Amen.
God has given you more.
Yes.
Than for you to fall to the trick of the enemy and allow an unfamiliar voice.
Yes.
To make you think who you are. How many of you know that people can tell you things over and over and over until after a while you'll begin to believe it?
Yeah.
And if you never hear anything else, you'll soon begin to believe it. And you cannot hear something. People can not tell you things, and after a while you'll forget it. So the enemy uses these unfamiliar voices in order to take you to a place that you never dreamed you would go, make you do things you never dreamed you would do, and say things you did not think you would ever say. It's these unfamiliar voices that the enemy uses that causes you to do those unfamiliar things. Look at this, church, up until this moment in time. And that word there is, when we look at the word time, when we read the word time, we got to realize it's the same word as eons, and that means it never started and it never ends. That's an eon. Infinity. And so we recognize that up until this moment in time, Adam and Eve had two voices in their lives. That's it. They had just two voices in their lives, and they didn't listen to no other voice. Adam had Eve's and the Lord's. And Eve had Adam's and the Lord's. That's the only two voices they had. They didn't have any other voice, and those are the voices that they listened to. Now, we do know that Adam communicated with the animals, and he told them stuff, but he didn't listen to the animals. When man started listening to the other creation, that's when he got in trouble. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Once you accept Jesus as your personal Savior, you are a new creation in Christ Jesus, and you have no business listening to the other creation. Oh, why go back to where you came from? So Adam could communicate with the animals, but he didn't listen to them. Because the word tells us that God had given them dominion over everything, over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air, over all the creeping, crawling things, and over all the animals. He had dominion over them. When you have dominion, you give command. You don't take command. You go to work, your supervisor has dominion over that job.
Yeah.
Doesn't have dominion over you.
Right.
Are y'all there?
Right.
But they speak. and you do. So we got to recognize that Adam could speak to God. I don't want to get into all this, but I got to. Adam could speak to all of the animals. So we could say that Adam could speak in frog. He could speak in cat. He could speak in dog. He could speak in what? Elephant. He could speak in all of these things. And not only could he speak to them in a language that they could understand, he also had authority over them. And they listened to him. And he never harmed one. And they did not fear him. Come on. They did not worry about what he would do if they didn't do what he said. He spoke to them, and when he spoke to them, they did what he said because they knew that it was the best for them. Watch this. It was an inbred thing in them. They knew that when he spoke to them, it was for their good. How many of you know that when God speaks to you, it's for your own good? You may not like what he says. You may not like what he tells you to do, but it's really for your own good. It may seem foreign to you in the beginning, but if you will let him speak to you and you will do what he says for you to do, when this whole thing is over with, you'll give him the glory for it. How many of you ever been in a situation and you didn't think that it was going to end good for you? But God turned it around. And it was because you were obedient. It was because you did not listen to the unfamiliar voices, but you listened to the familiar voices. Now, Adam could communicate with the animals, and he did communicate with them, but he didn't listen to them. Genesis 1:28 says, after creating human, God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So Adam and Eve had dominion over every living thing that moved upon the earth. When you have dominion, you give orders, you give commands. I love what Paul said in Romans 6:14, sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Yeah. Oh, listen to this. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Sin doesn't tell you what to do. Yeah. You have to listen to an unfamiliar voice to keep talking to you until it convinces you that that's what you really want to do. Amen. See, I don't believe that anybody ever slips up and sins. Oh, come on. I know a lot of people do, and they'll say, well, I've said the S word, and, you know, when I hurt my finger or something, I say a word I really shouldn't say, and I didn't. Well, you thought it. Because what you think in your heart's going to eventually come out your mouth is what the Word says. So you thought it. So I don't believe that that sin has dominion over you. I believe that you have dominion over sin. You're not under law. You're under grace. And the power of grace is much greater than the power of sin. Oh, death, where's thy sting? Oh, grave, where's thy victory? For the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. And Paul goes, you're not under the law. You're under grace. I don't know about you, but I thank God for grace. I thank God for grace. Come on. I thank God that even though that I mess up and I get off track with God, God is going to give me enough for grace to tell the enemy that I can overcome him and he doesn't have dominion in my life. See, when you listen to an unfamiliar voice, you're going to do unfamiliar things. And so if you don't listen to them, then then you're not going to be doing those unfamiliar things. And watch this. In verse 13, God asked the woman, why have you done this thing? And she answered him, and she said, the serpent deceived me. The serpent beguiled me. And I fell for it. Now, this word beguiled from the old King James Version means deceived naturally, but it means that he charmed her. He enchanted her. He wooed her. He didn't do something that would insult her and she ate of that tree. He wooed her. See, that's the way the enemy does you. He deceives you. And you got to recognize the fact that when he deceives you, it's going to be in a way that he will charm you into thinking that it's okay. And you got to think it's okay, or you're going to get away with it, or you wouldn't do it. But had she not listened to him, he could not have deceived her. It's that unfamiliar voice. I want you to keep that in your mind. It was listening to that unfamiliar voice that got her into trouble. I like to think that the third voice in our lives should be an unfamiliar voice. That voice that I've referred to it so many times as that third voice. Let me tell you something. As long as I'm listening to God, I don't have to worry about anything else. Let me tell you something. You can block out every power of the enemy in your mind. Watch this. You don't have to think those thoughts. That's the reason the Bible said resist the enemy and he'll flee from you. If that thought comes in, rebuke it. I know some things don't rebuke too easy. But you got to recognize the fact that God has given you authority in your own life and in your mind. And when those thoughts come in, all you have to do is take authority over those things and the enemy will not be able to come in and destroy you. So we find that it's those unfamiliar voices, and had she not listened to that unfamiliar voice, she would not have been deceived. Talking about her listening, my mother used to say to my brother and I, boys, men love with their eyes, and women love with their ears. It didn't make a lot of sense to me back then because I was too busy looking. I wasn't doing a lot of listening except to the unfamiliar voice. But she said, you got to remember, women love with it. Now, what's this? I mean, now that I've studied this thing and I recognize the fact that the enemy, in the old Hebrew, it's tezalim. And that word beguiled is tezalim. That word deceived is tezalim. And what it does is it convinces you in a way that what is wrong is really right. It's a deception. Are y'all there with me? Watch this. And you got to hear it. And once you hear it, it seems to get to be okay. That's how you get involved in stuff. That's how you get involved in gossip. That's how you get involved in things of this world, is because you keep listening to that unfamiliar voice, and the unfamiliar voice says it's okay. And after a while, not only are you listening, you're participating. Amen. There's two kind of people in life. They're spectators and participators. And you'll always spectate before you participate. Uh-oh. It's these unfamiliar voices, and these unfamiliar voices are those voices that we have not heard before. When we first hear them, we don't agree with them. God give you a knower on the inside of you. Let me tell you, you know what's right and you know what's wrong. Pastor Ron and I can stand up here every Sunday and preach to you what you shouldn't do, and you already know you shouldn't do it. And we have to do it like we think you forgot it. And we know you really haven't. You've just listened to that unfamiliar voice until it's okay for you to do it. See, I think it should be unfamiliar to us to hear things. And when our spirit checks us, we should be able to stop it right there. See, when God called out to Adam, "Where are you? Where art thou? Where are you?" He said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked." See, when we look at this passage, there's so many unfamiliar things here. There's unfamiliar words. There's unfamiliar feelings. There's unfamiliar reactions. And it all started with an unfamiliar voice. Everything that you do in your life starts with a thought in your head, and the enemy speaks to your mind. Your mind is the heart of your soul. Come on. What a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You don't think with this thumping gizzard, for if that was true, I wouldn't have thought for 6.5 hours because they took it out and worked on it. But I recognize the fact that we think with our mind, and our mind is what the enemy attacks, because he can't attack anything else until you agree to it. Why? For greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. You got to recognize the enemy can't do anything unless you go along. He cannot make you say something. He cannot make you think something. All you got to do is take authority of it. See, first of all, Adam and Eve did not know when he said, "And I hid because I was naked." And he said, "Who told you?" God said, "Who told you you were naked? Who told you that? That's not in your vocabulary. You don't know that word. I never gave you that word. How did you know? Who told you?" And immediately he says, "Have you eaten of the tree that I told you not to eat from?" Are you there, church? In other words, he was listening to those unfamiliar. And so that unfamiliar voice became familiar to him because he mentioned it to God. He spoke to God just like that's the way it always has been. And God said, "Who told you you were naked? You don't even know what naked means. What are you doing? Here you are. You're telling me that you hid from me because you were naked, and I didn't tell you you were naked. I didn't even give you that word because you don't need to know that word. That's not a part of your life. You don't need any word that's not a part of your life. You'll never have to use it as long as you're living in the garden. I mean, you won't ever be. But you listened to that unfamiliar voice." Adam had never experienced fear. He didn't know what fear was. He said, "I was afraid." So God knew something was up with him because he had never experienced fear. Now, the Bible tells us God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God is not a fearful God. God doesn't, you know, we got to realize there's some things that we will never understand. And there's some things that God doesn't understand. God doesn't understand fear because he's God. God doesn't understand. God doesn't need time. God gave time to us. Amen. Where we can keep up with ourselves. God doesn't need that. And God doesn't need, fear means nothing to God because he's God. And so he said that, and I was afraid. And God knew that he had experienced something that he had never experienced before. He was having unfamiliar experiences here. Wow, what's this? There's something about the voice of God that will always overpower that unfamiliar voice. The Bible says, and watch this, when God spoke to him, he had done exactly what God told him not to do. And when God spoke to him, he threw every bit of that down, and his full attention went to God. Are y'all there? In other words, that familiar voice of God became stronger than that voice that was speaking to him. Now, watch this, church. That's the reason the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God. In other words, that should be the familiar voice to you. And every time that the enemy tries to come into your life, that familiar voice should always outshadow that unfamiliar voice. And that's when you need to rebuke the devil.
Amen.
And that's when you need to recognize the fact that God has put you where you are for a particular purpose to do a particular thing. And as long as you follow him, the enemy cannot stop you. We need to be aware of those unfamiliar voices. See, when we talk about the unfamiliar voices, we got to realize they're going to make you do unfamiliar things. And they're also going to take you under. And not only is this unfamiliar voice going to destroy you, but it's going to allow you to take someone with you. What's this? Everything you do affects the entire body of Christ. It's amazing to me how we tell everybody, listen, all you got to do is get saved, live like hell, and go to heaven. You know, we just say, you know, it don't matter, whatever you do. Listen, we got to stop that junk. That's craziness. We've got to recognize that God expects some things out of us when we become children of God. We got to begin to act like children of God. See, can I tell you? Eve ate first. I'm not making excuses for Adam. That sorry thing, he could have said no to. But she ate. And then she gave to him. So she didn't, it didn't just destroy her, it destroyed him too.
Yeah.
And it affected him as much as it affected her. Watch this, it even affected the serpent, and it affected you and I.
Amen.
That's the reason we have the problems that we have today.
Yeah.
That's the reason there's sickness in the world today.
Yeah.
How many of you know sickness doesn't come from God? And so we got to recognize that all of this stuff had to start, and it's an evil thing, and sickness is not of God, and none of this stuff is, but somebody had to bring it upon us, and it all started with failure in the garden. And when we look at what happened, the sequence of events that happened, we recognize that Eve listened to the serpent. She talked with the serpent until his voice became as familiar to her as God's voice. And watch this. How often did God come to them? Every day. In the cool of the day. He came to them every day. So it didn't take long for that unfamiliar voice to become familiar. You know, once you begin to participate, you're no longer spectating, but you're participating. It doesn't take long for unfamiliarity to become very familiar to you. See, I believe that in my heart it's easier to be led by a familiar voice than it is to be led by an unfamiliar voice. And it's been happening since that time. And it's going to continue to happen until the Lord comes back. I just believe that in life, God always gives you and I a way out. Come on. Always gives you and I a way out. You know, the enemy never catches God by surprise. And so if God is living in me, that tells me that the enemy never catches me by surprise. For greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And I just believe that the enemy don't catch you by surprise if you're operating in the Spirit of God. You know, what I like to think is there's no suddenlies with God and there's no mysteries with God. You can't say that God was, that the enemy does something. God, he knows everything. So he was more. We get thinking, well, if we can hide this, if we can, when people begin to hide things, that tells me that they fear man more than they fear God, because you can't hide from God. I just love it, and I'm going to say this, and I'm going to zip on and finish up here. But have you ever noticed that people would just do anything unless they think somebody's going to find out about it? Come on, we've all been there.
Amen.
But if we're afraid that if somebody finds out about it, then we're in trouble.
Amen.
But God already knows it.
Yes.
You know what's so sad about it? And you got to realize this. When he loved you so much that he went on Calvary, he looked through 2,000 years of time and he saw the exact thing that you were going to be doing. And he said, I'm going anyway.
Yes.
I'm going to take it upon myself. Come on. He knew it. There's no surprises with God. And he loved you in spite of you. And he loved you and he went to Calvary for you. And we got to recognize the fact that we're living under that kind of grace, that God loved us enough that he died for our sins, even when we were yet in our sin. We got to recognize this communication that happens when sin begins to come into our life. I would like for you to kind of look at this one thing with me as I close out. Have you ever thought in your study time or your prayer time or just by yourself, you're going to have these unfamiliar voices? You're going to have these third voice experiences. And you'd say, well, does everybody? Yeah, everybody has them. Even Jesus had them. Remember he was led up into the wilderness to be tempted? How did the enemy attack him? Talking to him. Everything that he tempted him with, Jesus answered it with the word. Remember this? It'll work for Jesus. It'll work for you. All you need to do is use the word of God, and you're going to have these unfamiliar voices. You're going to have, if Jesus had them, you're certainly going to have them. And if the enemy thought that he could get Jesus that way, why would he not think he could get you or me? See, when that third voice begins to come into your life, you need to use the word of God. And you no longer are communicating with that unfamiliar voice, but the word of God is communicating with it. All right, look, real quick, you remember what Jesus did when Lazarus died? He went up to the tomb, been dead for 4 days. Everybody said he stinks by now. And he said, roll the stone away. No, we can't do that. He stinks by now. We don't want to be offend everybody here. Jesus said, roll the stone away. And then what did he do? I love this. The Bible said with a loud voice, he cried, Lazarus, come forth. He didn't go in that tomb. He sent his word in that tomb. And his word went. He sent his word and healed their disease. Are y'all there with me? Listen, all you need is the word of God. It'll overcome every power of hell. It'll overcome every attack. It will overcome everything that the enemy comes against you. You just need the word of God, and you'll never have the word of God unless you study to show yourself approved. So why, in conclusion, this really is conclusion, why would Satan want to use that third voice with you to destroy you? How's he going to do that? Why would he even want to do that? Because you are the image and the likeness of God. The Bible said, let us make man, human, in our image and what? And our likeness. Let us make man in our image That's Genesis 1:26, in case you're wondering. Let us make man in our image and after our likeness. See, the word image here, we need to look at it as an outward appearance. You have an outward appearance. And that is the image. In other words, I won't use any local people, but I've got a nephew that is a spitting image of his father. I mean, they look just alike. It'll blow you away. He looks just like him. He's the image of him. This is an outward appearance. And he says, and after our likeness, the likeness is an inner appearance. It's what's on the inside of you. Now, when God was having a meeting with his people, and Satan comes in, and he said to Satan, "Where have you been?" He said, "Oh, going to and fro about the earth, looking to see who I can devour." Yes. And he said, "If you consider my servant Job, he's a faithful man. He's just. He's one that runs from evil. He's a great guy." And he said, "Yeah, but you've got a hedge built around him." He says, "And I can't touch him." He said, "I'll remove the hedge." I love this. He said, "And you can touch his body, everything around him, his image. You can touch that, but you can't touch his soul. You can't touch him." I love this. When you're him, you can't touch him, because that belongs to me. You can touch the image, but you can't touch the likeness. Are y'all there with me? You can touch the image, but you can't touch the likeness of God. Oh, I just begin to think about that, and I just want to turn just good old-fashioned, pure Pentecostal when I think about it. I just can't hardly stand it when I think about it. He may touch this body. He may touch the image, but he cannot touch the likeness. Are y'all there? He can't touch the likeness of God in me. And the likeness of God in me is what's going to live forever. What's this? This girl had this boyfriend. Nice guy, and she loved him very much. And she, everywhere she went, she carried a picture of him, an image, a picture of him. And so one day, he gives her a call, and he said, "Hey, I just want to tell you, I really don't love you anymore, and I found somebody else." So she just, she takes out that picture and she tears it into 1,000 pieces. But guess what? Didn't hurt him a bit. didn't hurt him a bit. It was just his image. Are y'all there? It's just an image of him. And that's the reason God began to talk about us not worshiping images. And so we see here that the enemy can touch an image, but he can't touch a likeness. And you're in the likeness of God. Stand up. You're in the likeness of God. And he may touch your body. He may touch everything about you and everything around you, but he cannot touch you. And the thing that separates you from everything and everyone else is the love of Jesus Christ, the grace that God has put in your life. That's when we can say that thanks be to God that we have grace. It's grace that sets you free. It's grace that gives you your heavenly robe. It's grace that takes care of you when you sin. It's grace that's going to love you even when you've done wrong. It's grace. Thank God for grace. Somebody say, thank God for grace. He can touch the image, but he cannot touch the likeness. Father, we face things in our life, and the enemy comes at us and puts thoughts in our minds and makes us think that he can destroy us, but we know that he cannot. And we know that this body is temporal. It's a temporal building. And it's not going to last forever. And he may touch it, but he can't touch anything else. Father, you know the hearts of every person here. You know their need. And I just want you to touch it right now, Lord, as I open up the front and declare that if any person in this building has a need from God, they want God to take care of, whether it be physical or whether it be financial or whether it be spiritual, God is still God.
Amen.
And I want to open up this front and ask you to come. I want to pray with you. And I want God to minister to you. That's it. Just come all over the building. God wants to minister to you.